Let's go back to Romans 6. I thought we'd be done with this, but it seems like the Lord has let us chew on it. And you know what you do when you keep chewing on something? It gets bigger and bigger. Right. Romans chapter 6, and I'll let you remain seated if you pay real good attention tonight to the verse. Verse number 17, the Apostle Paul writes again, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." I want to continue our thought, "But God be thanked." But God be thanked. I won't run through all this to the same degree that we've already declared it, but we've understood thus far that before Paul would come to Romans 6 and in verse 17 and declare, "But God be thanked," that this is attached to the thought or to the idea in the preceding five chapters that God is to be thanked because we're not where we started in sin. We all started this life in sin. In sin, our mother and father conceived us, was conceived in sin and born in sin, and all of that was attached to Adam's sin in the garden. But God be thanked that we're not where we started. We looked at man's slide into sin. We not only started in sin, but the longer we was there, no matter how long that was, whether it was a few years and saved as a child or many, many years, and as an adult, maybe married and with a family, as some of you testified, that God is to be thanked that we're not in that downward slide any longer, that at the grace of God has come by and done a work in our life. And so God is to be thanked that we are not where we started and we're not sliding where we once did and that we're not scoffing at sin tonight as we once did, as Paul would uncover that there are so many sinners in the world that think sin is a casual thing. They think sin is not their problem. They scoff even at the thought of their own personal sin and what their sin is doing to them. But God is to be thanked tonight that we're not there scoffing at sin anymore. And then God is to be thanked because we're not standing where we used to in our sin anymore. Sin was going to bring wrath and judgment and death and separation from God and hellfire. But God be thanked, he would say in chapter 6 and in verse 17. Why? Because though the wages of sin is death, we understand the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not standing before God in sin this evening. Jesus made all that better. Jesus made me sainted in himself and perfect in himself. And we who were the servants of sin, he will lay out and we'll see tonight, have been made the servants of righteousness. One time we could not do righteousness. We were free from righteousness. But thank God in Jesus, we now stand before God in the image of his Son. And based upon that imputed righteousness, we stand, amen, in a position tonight for which God alone is to be thanked. It wasn't baptism that changed that. It wasn't good works that changed that. It wasn't church membership that changed that. It wasn't outward reformation that changed that. It was our God that is to be thanked tonight that changed our relationship with sin. And so tonight, where we started and how we slid and what we scoffed and where we stood in relation to sin tonight, that is where all mankind, you and I included, would still be connected to, but for what God has done for us through Christ by his grace. And so with all of that in mind, Paul said, But God alone be thanked. Thank conveying the idea of grateful reflection for the divine influence upon our hearts, specifically grace. And all the tone changes. And I understand in chapter 3, 4, and 5, and even 1 and 2 and 3, there are There are veils that Paul brings back of good things about the grace of God. But really in chapter number 5 and in verse number 18 and following, Paul reminds us where sin did abound, your relationship with sin, that it abounded and it was always bringing forth all these things and getting you in more and more trouble. But he said that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Divine influence stepped into your life. If you're saved tonight, it is God's grace that abounded more than sin did abound. It was grace that came to where you were in the depths of sin. Not you lifting yourself up by your own bootstraps, but the superabounding of grace over sin in our life. And no wonder Paul said, but God be thanked. I'm thanking him because of his divine influence upon our life. We won't go back to Romans 1:21, but simply put, we said on the weekend that a man can't even get saved till he has revealed to him the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his own sinfulness and coming to the place where he realizes and is thankful that though he can't do anything about his sin, Jesus did. And so there's got to be a gratitude and a thankfulness in the heart of a sinner before he can even call upon the one who can save him from his sin. And so tonight we're thankful for the divine influence that the Lord made upon our heart. And so according to this single verse, Romans 6:17, we've been looking at three things Paul has in mind that God has done and is doing, not only has done, but is doing, that we should be thankful to God for. But God be thanked for our freedom in grace. We are not what we used to be. We were, he said, the servants of sin. But God changed my position. Amen. When did that happen? It happened in the moment of salvation. And it is an eternal transaction for which I'm thankful for. I can't go back to what I used to be. Amen. I can't go back to what was in the past. Amen. I'm glad this evening he changed my position. I'm no longer the servant of sin. And Paul would say in the book of Hebrews and in chapter number 10, that we are not of those who draw back unto perdition. Amen. We couldn't go back if we wanted to. And Brother Larry would say to us tonight, amen, if you've ever truly, really been born again, you can't want to go back to what the Lord brought you out of. Amen. Somebody said, well, I know somebody who went back. Amen. I would say tonight they didn't go back. They never were brought out to begin with. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, there is, amen, a thankfulness in my heart for the freedom I have in grace. And then we studied on the weekend that we're to say, God be thanked for our feeling about grace. And there is a work that Paul describes in this verse that the Lord has done in our heart. But God be thanked. Remember the idea behind the word thank means and conveys that I'm grateful for what God has done on the inside. Amen. And so I'm thanking God that he did a work in my heart, but I responded in my heart to the work God did in my heart. Amen. He changed the way that I feel about God. He changed the way I felt about my sin. He changed the way I feel about the scripture. He changed the way I feel about the church. He changed the way I feel about a lot of things. I've said it on the weekend. Others have said it through the years. The things I one time had a feeling of hatred for, I now love. And the things I felt love for in the past, I now hate. I'm glad tonight that I can thank God this evening that he changed my feeling about, amen, these things. And so we thank God for our feeling about grace. But tonight, I'm interested this evening
You see, being thankful for our freedom and grace, that is the password, and our feeling about grace, is that divine influence. It changed our emotion and our human will about the things of God and where we were. He changed our passion. We're no longer past feeling, but thank God we're trying. If you're saved, we're trying to love the Lord, amen, as He is worthy to be loved. But I want to say tonight, there is an ongoing work for which we are to be thankful to God for. And I find it in the verse, and here's how we're going to word it tonight. God be thanked for our freedom and grace, our feeling about grace, but third and last of all, God be thanked for our fashioning by grace. For Paul said, God is not only to be thanked for what He did in the moment of salvation. That is not where it began and ended all in one transaction. But that God is doing an ongoing work in our life. I'm glad when I got saved, thank God I was made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Him, there was nothing to be added. There was nothing to be taken away. In that moment, positionally, I was seated in heavenly places in a position that, thank God, is absolutely wonderful. But the fact of the matter is, amen, spiritually, I'm already where I'm going to be, but I'm not there yet. Amen, I'm there, but I ain't there. Does that make sense? Amen, there's part of me on the other side and part of me on this side. And the part of me that's on this side is not of the world and its system. It's not of the flesh anymore, but it is still in the world. And it still has a battle that rages with the flesh. And I'm telling you, we've preached on that so many days and times. Paul really has that in mind as he comes into chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Romans about this warfare. I appreciate about the Apostle Paul that he was transparent enough, the great apostle, amen, that did all that he did, got transparent and said that this ain't just something going on in you that I am scolding you about. And in chapter number 7, he reveals that he himself has this same war that is going on in his own members. And so there is this thing that, amen, we realize we're saved. We realize the life that we've been saved to. And yet there is a battle that rages on the inside to attain to it. And I want you to understand tonight, if left to yourself, amen, you'd never be able to live it. Amen, and that is Paul's argument in Romans chapter number 7. And mock this if they want, they can call me every name in the book. Amen, but Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Amen, he didn't say, I tell you what I'm going to do. Amen, I'm going to be more determined than I've ever been. I'm not saying that's not part of it. Amen, but that ain't where he found his source of strength. That's not where he found fashioning at. That's not where he found the source to become what he knew that he ought to be. Amen. He's already said the things I would, the things that I have tried to will myself to do. Amen. He said, I fall flat on my face so many times. And the things I try to will myself not to do. Amen. He said, I turn around and there I am doing it. Amen. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am. Amen. He didn't thump his chest. I know in Christ. I know in Christ what I am. Amen. But I want to say there is a part of me that's still a wretched man. Always has been and always will be. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I'm going to tell you where I found the source of, and it's changed my life and fitted me in this salvation. And it's helping me with this wretched man that I am. And it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in His grace is helping me to be what I ought to be as a child of God. Amen. What is he doing? He is enlarging on the phrase. But God be thanked for our fashioning by grace. Amen. The fact that we are wretched men and women and in a body of flesh, in a body of death, and still possess an Adamic nature on the inside, it is no excuse for you and I not living for God. Amen. Amen. And so Paul said, I want to thank God. He needs to be thanked for our fashioning by grace. I see this in the end of the verse as the Apostle Paul said that he said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Form of doctrine. The word form implies or literally means rather that there is a diecast, there is a pattern there. Is a model. When we think about a die or a pattern or a model, we understand that there is a template that is being used to show somebody what they are to be or what is to be molded, or to use the word in the Bible that is here in our verse, that how we are to be formed, that we're not to be conformed to this world, Paul said. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be formed to a pattern that is greater than this world. This world is not the model we ought to be living by. All its philosophies, all its traditions, all of its ways, all of its doctrines, my friend, are not the pattern that we ought to be molding our life after. But Paul said God is to be thanked because he has a form that he has delivered by which is to fashion our lives. And it's going to be by grace. We have said that that God is to be thanked for our freedom and grace, that God has changed my position. And God is to be thanked for our feeling about grace, he has changed my passion. But God is to be thanked for my fashioning by grace, that it is God that is changing my pursuits. He would say, here's the form you used to go after. Jesse said, you used to be the servant of sin. Your life used to be molded by sin. Your life used to be molded by yielding your members to the desire of your flesh. But now that you're saying there is another form that is working in your life that is molding you into the image that the Lord would have for you to be. And so, amen, that has to begin with a change in my pursuit. That I'm no longer pursuing the ungodly, but the holy. Amen. Been made free from sin, verse 18. What is the result of that? I became again the servants. We became the servants of righteousness. And so now we're not after. Notice the word he used in verse number 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. There's a weakness. And it's in your flesh, and it's in your fleshly nature, and it's still there. He's writing to believers. He is writing to those that have claimed the grace of God. And he said, I understand that there are infirmities in your flesh. He said, and goes on, I got to hurry, I don't want to bog down in this, but he said, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. And so there is to be a fashioning we allow God to do in our life. I'm not to use my infirmities as a crutch. I'm not to use the weaknesses of my flesh as an excuse. But I am to submit myself and yield myself that grace that God has given and is fashioning my life and my mind and my relationship to Him and my relationship to the body of Christ and my relationship to spiritual things, that He is forming some things in my life. Amen. I want to say tonight, if you're saved, you ought to be thanking God for the fashioning of His grace in your life. Thank God for grace tonight. Grace is not just for your salvation. Grace is for your daily life. Take grace out. You take grace out. I'm not saying human will don't have anything to do with it. I'm going to tell you something. You take grace out, you can't stand on your own two feet tonight. Some things I'll bring out here about our fashioning tonight out of the verse real quickly. I see the resource for our fashioning. What is God using to fashion our life? Will y'all look at it? I'll be quick now. It ain't even 8 o'clock. Y'all are looking like it's 9:30, okay? Please don't do that to me. I'm doing the best I can on this Wednesday. Amen. The resource for our fashion. What has God and what is God giving to us to fashion our life? Notice what he said, Brother Tim. He said, "You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Doctrine was delivered. Doctrine was delivered. I'm interested in that phrase for a moment tonight. Paul is saying that form, that model, that guide that has been cast, that shows you and is working the template from which your Christian life is being derived from, it comes from the doctrine that was delivered. You don't get the right to say what kind of Christian life that you're going to live. You don't get the right to say what a Christian is apart from the doctrine that was delivered. The doctrine that was delivered, this deals with the instruction. Listen to this tonight. Doctrine which was delivered, it is literally the instruction of God's word of truth as transmitted by teaching and preaching. Paul is saying, you say, well, I thought we was talking about God. Be thanked. That is exactly what we're talking about. God should be thanked that He has brought to you and He has brought to me as not only sinners in need of saving grace, but as children of God in need of a pattern, in need of something to follow that we knew nothing about. But what did God do? He gave the instruction of His word of truth and transmitted that through teaching and through preaching. It was delivered, Paul said, that you might be fashioned by God's grace. What did Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16? He said, "I want you to know, Timothy, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for four things." I won't even mention the four, but the very first and top of the list, Paul said, it is profitable for doctrine. It is doctrine. It is truth. It is a simple instruction of what God says is right and God says is wrong. And what God says is sin and what God says is holy. And what God said you can do and what God said you can't do. That is what doctrine is. Doctrine is what is right. Doctrine is what is right. Amen. I'm glad tonight that we have a resource. We have a resource tonight. And my friend, is doctrine. It is profitable to know what is right. I don't have to debate about all the things that men want to arm wrestle about and have theological fighting matches about. God's word is enough. Let me know what my life is to be formed to. You try to form your life to the standards of the world. The standards of the world are ever changing. There are things that 50 years ago the world frowned on and smiled on tonight. Amen. You say, prove that. Amen. 50 years ago you couldn't run even as a liberal Democrat in America and get elected to office if you took a stand for same-sex marriage. The world is ever moving the goalpost. They'll drive you out of your mind. What they say you can do today, you can't do tomorrow. And what they say you can, you can't. I mean, it's ever changing, but there is eternal truth that God, throughout the Word of God, and especially through David and the Psalms, has declared that God's truth is going to endure to every generation. That God has always had a standard. He's always had a resource for people to look to, and that they can know this is profitable to me so that I can know what is right. Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter number 2 and in verse number 1, here is the ministry of a pastor in a local church. He said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Amen. So there is a resource tonight in the Word of God, and thank God we have that to ourselves. And thank God we can read it for ourselves and study it for ourselves and know it for ourselves. And we can sense and have a personal relationship with the book. But don't discount tonight what Paul said, that form of doctrine, it was delivered. It was transmitted. There was somebody that was willing to speak sound doctrine. There was somebody willing to tell you when you was wrong. There was somebody willing to point you to what was right. There was somebody that God had put in your life, not to be some bully yet, and not to make you feel bad. Amen. Even though we do feel bad about it sometimes, that's not the end goal. The end goal is that there is a resource in the Word of God and the man of God declaring to you and that sound words and doctrine that is supposed to form our life. So when the preacher talks about and preaches about from God's Word on any issue you want to talk about, from the outside of your life to the inside of your heart, what is all that designed to do? That is God's resource in your life to form you by His grace. I'll never forget as long as I live that all the times Brother Philbeck has ever preached here multiple nights in a row somewhere, he has always said, everything good in my life tonight is a result of preaching. Amen. You take preaching out of your life, you'd be in a bad way this evening. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 10. Boy, this thing's getting big on me. I ain't going a fourth part in this, so let me hurry up. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look there with me, if you will. I do want to take a moment. I want to enlarge upon this matter. And don't forget, we're talking about a resource for our fashioning. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, he's going to give a warning of matters of sin. And there's going to be a phrase I want to show you tonight that there are matters of sin that are set, here's the phrase, contrary to sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, notice with me in verse number 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. That's a pretty big list right there, ain't it? And the list could go on and on and on and on, Brother Mark. It could go on for chapters and chapters. But Paul feels by the Holy Ghost just to say, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, what is just said is you need to understand that the law is good. God's word is good. God's word is right. And we've got to learn to use it lawfully. We've got to learn. It's not for our righteousness. It's there to tell us what is sin and what is godly, what we can do and what we can't do. And he goes through this great list of great sins and simply said, here's what you need to understand. You need to be warned that there are things you can be involved in that are said contrary to sound doctrine. That is, things that are being taught to you and preached to you. This world is full. The Bible said all the world lieth in wickedness. Everything out there sets itself against everything that is preached in here. You say, but that's the majority. I don't care if it's the majority. God is always right. Amen. We need to be careful. We need to be careful of things coming into our life that are contrary to sound doctrine. And so Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and in verse number 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that is where we are. The greatest resource that the family of God has to be fashioned, that grace that God has exhibited to you and I, every time the Word of God is opened, every time the Word of God is preached, every time sound doctrine is delivered to you and I, Paul said there's going to come and have come days in which men are not going to endure sound doctrine. And that's where we are. They shove it aside. And Paul said it's not that they don't want to be religious. It's not that they want to stop going to church. Amen. For Paul said they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You turn away from truth and you have lost the greatest resource you have to fashion your life to what God saved you to be. Shall be turned unto fables. Amen. The days we're living, everybody has a pulpit and a voice because everybody's got a podcast or a social media post to type all the junk that they believe. Let me tell you where you ought to get your source of truth. You ought to get it from the Word of God. And if you need more than that, don't listen to some bimbo on the social medias. Get around a man like A.L. Hall who don't even know how to get on all those things, but has lived it out long enough and consistently enough that you can attach your life to somebody like that. That can point you back to the Word of God and say, this would be a great way to let God form your life. Amen. The resource for our fashioning. Everybody okay? Give me just a minute. The response. I've got to deal with the response for our fashioning. Look back in our verse, Romans 6. We're just going line on line now. Y'all do want Bible preaching, don't you? I know this ain't jumping pews kind of teaching, Brother Jack. It's still good on a Wednesday night. I'm talking about thank God, thank God. God be thanked. He's the one that gave us the book. He's the one that gave you a pastor. He's the one that put people in your life that can point you to the Word of God. A doctrine which was, let me say this, which was delivered you. Amen. Ain't it amazing? We can hear everything. Oh, boy. I'm about to mess up, Brother Jerry, and go to preaching and meddling, rattling cages. Ain't it amazing we hear real good what is being delivered to everybody else? We hear all that real good. We shovel that around and we fling that around and we wouldn't dare say it out loud, but we'll think it and it'll run across our mind. I hope she's listening. I hope he's paying attention. Come on now. Paul said, it's got to get personal with you. Hey man, don't forget, God ain't just delivering doctrine to everybody else. He has delivered something to you. Hey man, have you ever got a personal word from God? Have you ever, when's the last time? I hope it ain't been that long. It shouldn't be that long. It shouldn't go week after week after week that you come to church. And I'm not claiming to be a great pastor. I'm not claiming to be a great preacher. And I mean this. I would count myself to be the least of least. I don't know why you come. I don't know why you come to hear me. Amen. But I know this. We try to pray. We try to get with God. We try to have something studied out. We try to have something that would be applicable and personal. And I know this. If you come to this church week after week after week after week after week and nothing ever gets delivered to you, I ain't trying to be a big shot, but that ain't my fault. That's you not responding to what God wants to use to fashion you. It's got to be you. You. Lord, give me truth. Amen. What if he would tonight? And he does every service. He has something for you. So that's been a long time since I've heard it. That's because you're not responding to what God is giving to fashion your life. Where do you see that, preacher? Notice what he said, but that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Here's what Paul said, the work that God is doing in your life now that you're saved. Thank God for what he did when he saved you, but his work is not done. Amen. He made a great change in your life. He's changed everything. Amen. About your mind and your feelings and your... He's forgiven you. And oh, God ought to be thanked for that. God ain't done yet. How does my life be fashioned? I must obey the form of doctrine that is being delivered to me. The word obeyed simply means to hear under as a subordinate. It means to listen attentively. I'm convinced, and y'all don't get mad at me. I ain't swatting at you. I'm just telling you. I'm amazed how many folk in church services don't listen attentively. I'm not swatting at you. I'm prone in a service to cut up. Amen. Don't ask my family how I behave sometimes in some services. Some men, they ain't worth listening to, so I play with my family while they're up. Amen. God help if you get me and Stanley Kelly in the same camp meeting and somebody's up and ain't preaching the Bible. We go crazy. I'll tell you this. When that book's open, a man has prayed and studied, got alone with God and said, thus saith the Lord. That ain't time to say, well, I'll get it on next service. That ain't time to be trying to figure out the calendar. That's time to say, I need this. This is most important in this hour to fashion my life. God is manifesting his grace to give me something that I can obey and be formed by. Amen. Our fashioning by grace will only take place. Y'all ready for this? By obedience. The resolve for our fashioning. We say this tonight, 2 Timothy 1:13 commands us to hold fast the form of sound words. I wish I hadn't took so much time introduction. There's some things I need to say here. Hold fast that form of sound words, sound doctrine. What is our responsibility once the resource has been delivered? We are to respond to it even while it's being given out, listening attentively, listening to be instructed, listening to be challenged. listening even, are y'all ready for this? Listening even ready to be reproved and rebuked and exhorted. Oh, no, no, no. I need it. And as it's given, we respond. What are we to do then? We're to be resolved to take what we've been given and what we've been instructed in and what we have laid hold on. Because you know what happens? You get out there in your car and Brother Jack, you turn and you go up here. You wouldn't go to the interstate. You'd go to 25E. If you go 25E down the big hill and around the lake, and you get behind somebody who thinks they're going to go 25 mile an hour down 25. They think 25E means go 25 mile an hour. And all of a sudden, that old flesh rises up, and you're honking, and you're swerving, and you're doing everything you can to let them know you ain't happy. How do you deal with that? There's got to be resolve that says, I will not let that out there steal what God has given me in here. You've got to hold it fast. Amen. You'll hear messages, and I won't even start to name it. We could name all sorts of things tonight. From outward actions to inward attitudes and spirits that we can so be prone to possess. We'll hear messages that'll challenge us and we'll say, okay, but let's be honest. Whatever you left at the house is waiting for you when you get back there. Whatever you left at work this afternoon, it's going to be there in the morning. Are you listening? The same temptations that have drawn you away all week long, guess what? They're going to be there the rest of the week. You can say, well, I just came, and you can throw your hands up and say, I quit. Or you can rise up with the resolve of the very Lord Jesus Christ who is on the inside of you and say, I will hold fast the form of the sound words that I've been given. Paul said in that same verse, boy, I need to drive this home. You're not just to hold it fast. He tells you how to hold it fast. 2 Timothy 1:13, if y'all are there, you'll see it. He said, here's how you hold it fast. You got to do it in faith and in love. How do I get resolve to lay down something that has been had me conformed to the world or conformed to something other than the form of doctrine delivered to me? I have got to be resolved to hold fast what I've been given in faith, that is, receive it in faith, believe it. You believe that book's true? That's how you have resolve. You got to believe, let God be true and every man a liar. If God said it in that book and I don't like it, God is still right. If God said it in that book and everybody else in the world goes and lives contrary to it, God's word is right. Resolve comes by holding it fast in faith. You got to believe it. Then he said, you got to, if you're going to hold it fast and have the resolve you need to be fashioned by that book and what you're given, he said, you got to hold it fast in love. Brother Larry, I believe I can say this about you tonight. You love God's word. Do you love God's word? We'll tell you why people can come to churches like this and hear truth, and their life never just seems to be formed into what a Christian ought to be. I'm not being mean. It's not just this church. It's churches all across our land, Brother A.L. The reason that they look more like and act more like and sound more like and are more like what is out there than they ought to be a child of God. They've not learned how to fall in love with sound doctrine. Amen. I love it.
David said, I have loved your word to the point I esteem it in all things to be right. I say tonight, I love God's word. Amen. I'd love to tell you more about that. Romans 6, verse 18 and following through 22. I'll just give you what I wrote down. I won't elaborate on some of these notes, but if you'll study that when you go home, read it when you go home. You say, preacher, I want to be able to thank God for fashioning my life. I want God to do such a work in my life that I couldn't help but say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in my life. You know what Paul says about this? He said, if we will resolve to yield our lives, he said, here's what he says. He said, you can live a life where you don't have to have shame. You won't have to have shame. He talks about the life you used to live that you were ashamed of. God can do such a work in your life that you don't have to live in that shame as a child of God. Said you can produce holy fruit for which God would be thanked and will be thanked, as this is really God's fashioning work of grace in our life. It really is the witness of genuine salvation. Don't just tell me you're saved. You telling me you're saved is not the evidence of your salvation. The witness of genuine salvation is not perfection, but that God is working on our life. I mentioned the other night, I'm done here, but amen. I said that I had teachers and Sunday school teachers when I was just a wee little tot. And remember them, Sister Caroline teaching us that little song. And it was just a little song, a little cute song back then, that tonight I understand they were teaching me something through that little song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. The song and chorus goes on. It took him a week to make the sun and the earth and the stars and the moon. All that God made, He made it all in a week. How loving and patient God must be. He has not done His work in our life in 7 days, but He's doing it across the span of our Christian life, fashioning us again and again and again and again. That is the evidence and the witness of genuine salvation. Is God working in your life? Are you submitted to that work? Can you say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the witness is there, the evidence is there, God is working on me. Preacher, how does He do that? Does it through this being delivered? You responding, you being resolved to say, Lord, I believe it, I love it, I'll live it. I hope that's your heart tonight.